What's the single most important contributor to your success in selling? The question's simple, but it seems everyone you ask has a different answer. There are a lot of things that contribute to your success as a sales professional. Strong product and industry knowledge, ability to build trust and relationships, ability to manage and lead a territory, as well as your personal commitment, drive, and energy, just to name a few. What do you think is the most critical contributor to success as a salesperson? After almost 28 years as a sales and sales management consultant, I've come to the conclusion that, no matter how important any of those terms are, success in selling always comes down to one constant: having the best or strongest competitive advantage. We've all seen sales pros who've had strong relationships or were product experts, but still weren't successful in selling. Have you ever seen anyone who had a significant competitive advantage still not be successful? I love my friend's quote, "I don't want much out of life. All I want's a profound competitive advantage." There are a variety of contributors to you achieving a competitive advantage. It could be in the uniqueness or value of your products, your customer support efforts, your pricing, or your location. Those are all great ways to gain a competitive advantage, but are normally out of our control. The one variable we can personally control is increasing our competitive advantage by keeping our selling skills and approach to selling more advanced and ahead of all other sales professionals. Are you staying ahead of the competition with your sales skills and approach to selling? Throughout the history of selling, sales reps have been working to identify the selling approach that could best increase their competitive advantage. Prior to the 1960s, the most significant contributor to your competitive advantage was your products. Back then, the vendor with the best product gained the competitive edge. This was a great way to gain an advantage over your competition, until everyone started copying everyone else's product uniquenesses, and everyone's products started to become more similar. In the 1960s, selling continued to evolve so that you could now gain a competitive advantage based on your ability to apply pressure or to manipulate your customer into saying yes. This is when all the closing techniques came about. Remember the Ben Franklin close, or the puppy dog close, or the alternative choice close? These were some of the most popular closing techniques back in the 1960s, and they all shared the same goal: applying additional pressure to a buyer to push them into saying yes. This worked for a while, but stopped being an effective sales accelerator when buyers became aware of all the manipulative tricks and techniques that were being used on them. After all, how effective will your manipulative closing technique be if your customer already knows the name of it? In the 1970s and 80s, selling did a profound cultural shift. Because of negative buyer responses to all of the pressure and manipulative closing pressures of the 1960s, the much softer, no more pressures or hassles style of relationship selling evolved. Relationship selling was an effective way to increase your competitive advantage because, after all, friends buy from friends. And the sales rep who had the closest friendship gained the competitive advantage. So back then, sales reps spent vast amounts of time and money sucking up to their customers. Building a personal friendship was much more important and valuable to a sales rep than helping the customer identify ways you could improve their business. So taking them golfing, dining, or drinking became the chief generators of your competitive advantage. One of the selling jokes back then was stating that you really haven't bonded with a customer until you've thrown up together. The reason relationship selling worked so effectively was due to the business culture that existed back then. In the 70s and 80s, there tended to exist a very hierarchical style of management. Managers took pride back then, taking responsibility for their own decisions. If a buying decision needed to be made and the vendor selected, the manager in charge would make that decision on their own. If someone else in the company challenged their vendor selection, the manager in charge of the buying decision would just say something like, "This was my decision and responsibility. Why are you getting involved?" This is the main reason why relationship selling could give you a competitive advantage back then, but doesn't today. Back in the 70s and 80s, a buyer could choose a vendor without having to defend their decision to anyone else within their company. So a sales rep with the strongest relationship could still win the business even if they didn't have the best offer for their client. But look how that style of buyer decision-making compares to today. Now business decisions within companies are much more consensus style, where the buyer or manager in charge of a buying decision will now work to get agreement and support from the rest of their management team, even though it's their decision and responsibility to make the final vendor selection. Today, if you don't have the best solution for your client, the rest of the management team will most likely be able to push for a different vendor, neutralizing your advantage based only on your relationship or closeness to your main buyer. In the 1990s, companies also started defending themselves against this relationship selling approach by putting policies in place, limiting entertainment spending and gift giving from vendors. A number of larger purchasing departments also adopted a philosophy of rotating purchasing agents' responsibilities every few years to prevent individual vendors from developing too close a personal relationship with a specific buyer, potentially saving the buyer from choosing a lower-valued vendor just because they are such good friends. In the 1990s, just being a customer's friend didn't have the value to a sales rep that it used to, so salespeople shifted to more of a consultative style of selling. Instead of the older style of friends buy from friends, the statement now became friends buy from experts. Consultative selling was still relationship-based, but now the relationships were business-focused instead of personal. Consultative selling was centered on you first proving your value, expertise, and ability to improve a customer's business before you started charging them for your products or services. Once you had proven yourself and your company, you then went after getting the business. But buyers quickly realized this shift and learned they could get all kinds of free consulting help from their sales reps without having to actually buy anything. In the 1990s, the standard buying process to take advantage of sales reps was for buyers to make sure all the vendors they were talking to knew they were each the buyer's first choice and had the edge earning their business. They would then have each sales rep provide them with all this free help and advice as a way for the rep to prove they were in fact the best vendor to select. But the more astute buyers might have as many as 2 to 4 vendors, each offering all this free help, and each with the expectation that after offering all their free advice, they would then win the business. If you were selling in the 1990s, how much business expertise and assistance did you give away for free, and then still lost the order to a competitor? So what works in selling today? The reality is all the skills discussed in this brief history still work today and are relevant to any salesperson selling success. Today, it's still critical that you know your products and have a strong product that helps prove your uniqueness and value to a customer. Understanding how to apply pressure on your buyers at the right time to help accelerate your decision is also a critical skill understood by all of the top sales professionals. Relationships are also still the critical foundation of any selling success. The only way you can learn what a customer really wants and needs is when they trust you and like you enough to share with you what's really going on in their company. And today, consultative selling is what our customers most want as they scramble to find more value and payback from any vendor they buy from. Proving your value by offering ideas and suggestions will still get your buyer's attention and help validate your value and uniqueness. A lack of either your product knowledge, applying the wrong kind of pressure at the wrong time, not having strong customer relationships and friendships, or not being able to offer ideas of value can each collapse any hope of selling success in a territory. These are all critical skills you have to have in your selling tool chest, and each will contribute to your ultimate selling success. But none of those skills will give you any type of sustainable competitive advantage in today's more advanced selling and buying environment. The skills from our past, product knowledge, relationships, consultative skills, are all strong contributors, but they also are like you as a sales rep taking a bath. If you stop bathing, eventually it would start negatively affecting your sales. But I doubt if you taking a bath today did anything to increase your competitive advantage. Selling is a relative competitive process. Our sales skills and our philosophy or approach to selling are all based on and measured by how we persuasively and effectively communicate compared to all of the other salespeople calling on that customer. You can increase your competitive advantage by consistently utilizing the latest and most advanced leading-edge sales skills and strategies. Are you as advanced in your selling skills as you could be? Think you can get better? So how do you gain a competitive advantage in today's more sophisticated and aware buying environment? Success today is really a blend of two disciplines. The first discipline is to develop a strong selling foundation as a selling scientist by learning and mastering all of the selling skills and disciplines that have provided a competitive advantage in the past. Becoming a master of all of these areas will provide you with a consistency and persuasiveness that allow you to sell even under the toughest competitive challenges. And the second discipline for selling success today comes from communicating and fulfilling a more philosophical or strategic approach to selling. Strategic selling involves your ability to communicate your value and competitive uniqueness to a prospect or customer throughout your entire selling process. We talked in depth about strategic selling in my May 2008 sales article. You can find a direct link to the main newsletter in the written version of this month's newsletter article. Strategic selling includes starting off each call with a strong strategic uniqueness or philosophy statement about you and your company that takes less than 2 minutes to present. It also involves you developing a more strategic or big picture focus to your selling messaging, selling language, and overall philosophy or approach to a customer's business. Today's more sophisticated buyers are more interested and will find more value in understanding your overall philosophy or approach. Your products or services are no longer the star of your sales presentation. Feature benefit selling is still important, but now plays more of a supporting role. The value of a feature and the benefit to your buyer is now best presented as a way to prove your philosophy or approach to supporting and helping your customer. Success in selling today and in achieving a sustainable competitive selling advantage is based on respecting and mastering the old skills of selling while staying focused on the future. A future based on your ability to communicate your strategy or philosophy to your buyer. If your customer likes your philosophy of doing business, they'll accept product or service details that are less than perfect. But if they don't like or find value in your philosophy of doing business, then the details of your products or services really won't matter. Now the question is, are you good enough? And are you committed enough to increase your ability to consistently and persuasively utilize the selling skills from the past, while still working and staying focused on selling strategically to gain a sustainable competitive advantage, both today and into the future? Thanks for listening.